US President Donald Trump has threatened action against Iran if it fails to rein in Houthi rebels in Yemen, as the group vows to escalate their attacks on foreign shipping in the Red Sea. The US has been carrying out a wave of airstrikes on the Iran-backed rebels, with dozens of people killed. Meanwhile, the head of Iran's Revolutionary Guard says the Houthis make their own decisions and that Tehran will react decisively to any action taken against it. Dr. Trita Parsi is Executive Vice President of the Quincy Institute for Responsible Statecraft and joins me now. Trita, welcome back to Radio National Breakfast.
Thank you so much for having me.
Is Iran responsible for the attacks that the Houthi rebels have been carrying out against both military and commercial shipping in the Red Sea?
Hardly. At the end of the day, the U.S. intelligence itself knows very well that the Iranians do not control the Houthis. And during the time in which there wasn't a ceasefire in Gaza, the Iranians put a lot of pressure on the Houthis to cease the attacks, but without much success. The only time we actually saw the Houthis stop attacking the ships was when there was a ceasefire, whether that was in November 2023 or for the last couple of months, at least up until Israel stopped allowing aid into Gaza. So I think this may have more to do with the fact that there is right now a bit of a dance going on between Trump and Iran in terms of restarting negotiations on the nuclear file, which the Trump administration appears to also want to expand into Iran's relations with the Houthis, Hezbollah, and other places. And I think this is part of a way for the Trump administration to show its willingness to use military force if they don't find the Iranians being willing to either talk or agree to some form of a deal with the Trump administration. So I think the reference to the Iranians, I think, has more to do with that than an actual belief that the Iranians are in control of the Houthis.
So could Tehran stop these attacks by the Houthis even if it wanted to?
I very much doubt it, because at the end of the day, what the Iranians have done is that they have provided the Houthis, as well as Hamas and Hezbollah, with technology. What the Houthis then use it for is not something that they necessarily can control, because they're not doing it in a way in which they retain the type of leverage of depriving them of shipments, etc. Bottom line is they've taught them how to build these missiles, so the Houthis are not dependent on the Iranians for providing them with missiles. And as a result, the Houthis are essentially self-sufficient. This has been the Iranian model. This has been the same thing with Hamas and with Hezbollah. They're actually not trying to extend any dependency on Iran, but rather provide them with the technology so that they will be self-sufficient. Now, that has a backlash on Iran right now because of the fact that they, even when they want to prevent the Houthis from further escalation, they're not in a position to be able to enforce it.
How seriously do you think we should take the threat from Donald Trump to hold Iran, quote, fully accountable if it fails to stop the Houthis?
Well, I think seriously, obviously, this has to be taken quite seriously, because the Trump administration, compared to the Biden administration, on the one hand, is talking about wanting to get out of the region and did press for a ceasefire in a way that the Biden administration never did. But on the other hand, when it comes to its willingness to use force, it is also far more willing to do so than the Biden administration was. Now, Biden, of course, did use a tremendous amount of force against the Houthis in Yemen, together with the Brits and others. But nevertheless, it seems like the escalation ladder has been much faster with Trump being in office. So I think we are in a very serious and dangerous situation. Now, there is one perspective that is saying, look, this is the way Trump did it with North Korea as well. There was a lot of threats, even nuclear threats, that were being issued by Trump as part of some sort of a negotiation dance before they get to the table. And I think there is a fair argument to say that that is perhaps what Trump is doing right now, mindful of the fact that the Iranians are studying the letter, a letter that Trump sent them last week, and Trump is awaiting their answer. But I think we should also remember that there's one critical factor that differentiates the North Korea situation from that of Iran, which is there was no Israel factor in the North Korea situation. All of the other countries surrounding North Korea wanted to see the U.S. take a tough stand against North Korean nuclear weapons, but they did not want to see war. Whereas in the case of Iran, the Israelis have been pushing the United States to take military action against Iran. And as a result, are a very critical element in this equation, pushing for a military escalation rather than what we had in the North Korea situation, in which essentially all of the neighbouring states nevertheless wanted de-escalation.
On Radio National Breakfast, you're listening to Dr. Trita Parsi, Executive Vice President of the Quincy Institute for Responsible Statecraft. Trita, why does Iran fund and arm the Houthi rebels? What's Tehran's ultimate aim?
Well, Tehran has been playing essentially a geopolitical game for the last four and a half decades, in which the Iranians have been seeking to play, to essentially establish themselves as a primary power in the Middle East, and rejecting U.S. hegemony or the military hegemony of the Israelis in the region. And that's why they've built up these different, what they call resistance forces in Syria, in Lebanon, in Iraq. And the Houthis in Yemen are one of the latest additions, and they're perhaps members, but not full members, because the other ones actually have much stronger ideological ties to Iran. And as a result, Tehran does have leverage over them and can control them to various degrees. Whereas with the Houthis, it's a very independent-minded movement, and the Iranians have never been that close to them as they are, for instance, with Hezbollah. So this is all part of a major geopolitical dynamic that has been taking place. There are ways, of course, to neutralize this, and the critical element for that would be for the United States and Iran to be able to figure out a way to coexist and neutralize some of the key points of tension between them, one, of course, being Iran's nuclear program. So there is a pathway out of this. But if nothing is done, then these geopolitical forces are most likely going to continue to drive the various parties towards a military confrontation. And I think we have to recognize that compared to the previous decade, the Israelis are both in a better position as well as in a much stronger position of desire to take military action against Iran than what we saw in the last 10 or 15 years. But the consequences of that is likely going to be the same, meaning that such a war will lead to a regional conflagration that will be devastating for the region as a whole, as well as for much of the global economy.
Trita Parsi, thank you so much for your time.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
That's Iran expert Trita Parsi.
You're listening to ABC Radio National.